We are on week three of a series that we've entitled Better Together. And in this series, we are looking about relationships and how we interrelate with each other and how we interrelate with God. And we discovered on week one that we were made to relate. We were made to have two relationships. We were made to have a relationship with God, and we're made to have a relationship with each other. When Jesus was asked, what's the most important commandment? He didn't say just one, but he said there's two, and they're equally important. He said you got to love God with all your heart, and you got to treat your neighbor as yourself. Two most important things. Now, last week, we looked and we asked the question, how do you find the one? How do you find the one that your heart longs for? How do you deal with loneliness? And we discovered that a lot of times that we do dumb things when we put this desire to not have loneliness as more important than our relationship with God, and that we've got to do it equally in pursuing a relationship with God and pursuing a relationship with each other. Today, as we go to week three, we're asking the question that if we are better together, then why do we fight? If we're better together, why do we have conflict? Now, I'll tell you this. If you came today and you're looking for hope, you're looking for peace, you're looking for purpose, and you're looking for focus to your life, then I've got some good news for you. There is hope found in Jesus, and at the end of today's message, I'm going to give you an opportunity to receive that hope today. I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. You can be using your paper Bible, you can be using your digital Bible on your phone. We're looking at Matthew chapter 5. The translation we're using today is known as the Message translation. If you're using the Bible app on your phone, you're going to switch it at the top to say MSG. But we're reading out the Message translation of Matthew chapter 5. And when you came in today, you should have received the bulletin. And inside that bulletin, there's some message notes where you can follow along with today's message, some fill in the blanks. It's also on the back going to be used for your life group. If you're a part of a life group, we recommend highly that you engage in life groups. It's the best place to make friends and become family. But these notes are for helping you follow along, but they're also a tool that we want you to use sometime this week. Look at Wednesday or Thursday and say, hey, I'm going to reread through this. I'm going to rediscover what it was that I learned on Sunday. So let me tell you what's happening in Matthew chapter 5. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus is sitting on the side of a hill or a side of a mountain, and he's teaching people, and he's blowing people's minds because they've always heard that God was presented in one particular way, and he's like, hey, let me tell you, you've heard it's been this way, but let me tell you that it's also this way. And people's minds are just going, poof. Like, wow, we've never thought of it. Could God really be this cool? Could God really be like this? And he's going through different things, and he's addressing different topics, and he's really hitting people right where they're at. And when he gets to this portion, in verse 23 and 24 of chapter 5, he's dealing with how we relate to each other. You can follow along on the screen above. It says this, "This is how I want you to conduct yourself in these matters. If you enter your place of worship and about to make an offering, you suddenly remember a grudge a friend has against you, abandon your offering. Leave immediately. Go to this friend and make things right. Then, and only then, come back and work things out with God." Let's pray. God, I pray that over the next few moments, as we unpack your word for us today, that you would speak to us and that we would hear. Lord, that you would speak to our hearts and you would speak to our minds. Don't let us leave today without being challenged and changed. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen. Now, there was once an older gentleman who was traveling by train in the English countryside. And he was sitting between two older ladies that were having quite the discussion. You know what it means when I say discussion and do these little rabbit ears, right? That means they were fighting. And what they were fighting about was the window of the train. And one lady was saying, "The window needs to be pulled down or I'm going to die of heat stroke." And the other lady was saying, "The window needs to be up or I'm going to die of pneumonia." And their argument got worse and worse, so they involved the train conductor, who was probably just passing along saying, ticket, ticket, ticket. And they're like, we need your opinion. We need to solve this. We got to do this. And he's like, I have no idea what to do. But this gentleman who's in between the two ladies, he says, I got the answer. Put the window up and one of them will die. Put the window down, the other will die, and then we'll have peace. You know, we were made for relationships, and we have all sorts of relationships in our lives. And when it comes to relationship, there's like steps or levels. When we meet somebody new for the first time, it's like, yeah, this is great. Oh, we found something in common. This is awesome. Whether it's a potential new best friend or maybe a potential love interest, you're just trying to find some commonality and everything's perfect. And then you begin hanging out more, and it tends to be that as you spend more time with another human being, you find that you're not so perfectly matched anymore, or something comes up that just bothers you, and it seems that every relationship we get into somehow, some way, results in some sort of conflict. I mean, we even highlight this as a rite of passage when we look at a newly married couple and, oh, your first fight, right? Now, let me ask you here. Who here has ever had a fight or a conflict with somebody they were in a relationship with? Okay. Who here needs to confess that they're not telling the whole truth and nothing but the truth? Okay. Let me ask you this. Who here has ever had a relationship end because of a fight or conflict? Yeah. You see, the question we're asking today is, if we are better together, then why do we fight? Why is there conflict? Why do we not always get along? What is with this? And regardless of whether or not you raised your hand or not, whether or not you're being truthful or want to admit, or maybe your relationships are just perfect, we're just going to laugh a little bit with some of the minor, little tiny things that couples seem to fight with almost every day. Let's take a look and see if any of these ring true for you in the course of your day or week. Let's watch.
That's not how you fold the towels.
It doesn't matter how you fold a towel.
It does matter how you fold a towel. If you want it to fit in the closet, you have to roll it. Oh my God, could you chew any louder?
This goes on here. It takes 2 seconds.
Well, then the next person who comes in, we'll do it.
That's not the point. Hey, did you throw away my leftovers?
No.
I could have you.
What did you call me?
Nothing.
The toilet paper goes over. It's printed that way so you can see it.
No, the toilet paper goes under so that the cats don't get at it.
That makes no sense.
What do you want to get for dinner?
I don't really care.
Then just pick something.
You choose.
Told you.
Shut up.
I don't see why I have to put the utensils face down.
Because when they're sticking up like that, if someone trips and falls, they're gonna impale themselves and die.
That's literally the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
I'm not playing this game where I list every single thing and you shoot it all down. I'm not doing this again.
Well, then I don't know what to tell you.
Oh my gosh, watch this. This is the best line.
Did you watch this without me?
You weren't home. Seriously, 6 more inches and it's in the sink.
Well, then put it in 6 more inches. I get it.
Anything will be fine.
Fine.
It's food.
Fine. All right. We're gonna get pizza.
Anything but pizza.
What do you want to eat?
That is Bill Paxton.
It is Bill Pullman.
Bill Paxton was in Aliens. That is Bill Paxton. That is him. Game over, man. That is that man right there.
Why am I gonna put him away? I'm wearing them tomorrow morning.
I don't care if you're wearing them tomorrow morning. I don't want them just sitting by my side of the bed all night.
Why do you do this? You squeeze from the bottom. The next person doesn't have to squeeze then.
It's toothpaste. It's not like it's hard to squeeze it from a new area on the tube.
Why are we fighting about this?
Why
are we fighting about this?
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have made you make the decision. With that being said, I think your original call of pizza is fine. Just no pepperoni.
What do you want on it then?
Anything other than pepperoni.
Oh my God, I'm going to murder you, and when the pizza guy gets here, he's gonna help me bury your body, and then we are gonna get married.
No, he won't, because he'll probably be like, yeah, I feel you, bro.
Oh, we laugh because it's true, right? No matter how much we love each other, no matter how much we like each other, we fight. We have conflict, and it just seems to just snake its way in. I once heard a wiser, older couple who had been together for a long time. They were asked, "What's the secret? What's the secret to lasting a long time?" And the wife spoke up. And she said, "Well, I understand. I believe God's word. I believe the Bible, and I believe fully that, you know, we're not gonna. We never thought about divorcing each other. We weren't going to do that. But I will admit, I thought a lot about murder many times." Yeah. Now, Jesus dealt with relationship issues all the time. Just think for a moment with me that he invited 12 guys to do life with him. Let that sink in for a moment. 12 guys are going to travel together. They're going to eat together. They're going to sleep with each other. I mean, this is all these things. They're going to do life and not be separated from each other. Do you think they had problems? I mean, yeah, we're reading into this. We don't have to be great scientific or theological minds. You get a bunch of humans together doing life together, there's going to be problems. And the Bible addresses just some of those issues in Jesus just dealing with disciples. He's got to be like, come on, guys, this is petty. I mean, they fought about who was better or who was going to sit closer to Jesus, or they fought about just who was going to get to do the next thing. And Jesus even picked them to go two by two, to go travel and minister. And do you think they had problems with who he picked? Probably. You see, as human beings, conflict and fight seems to engage every part of who we are. And why is that? We're asking this question, why? Why is it? And the answer we actually found, we talked about it here 2 weeks ago, that you were made to relate, and you were made to have a relationship with God, and you were made to have a relationship with other people. This is how God designed you. Now we're going to put our thinking caps on because we're going to make a scientific deduction. You know what I'm talking about? Where we're going to look at the facts and just come to a conclusion that makes sense. So if God designed you to have a relationship with him, do you think you're going to have issues? Do you think there would be anyone who would want you to not have a relationship with him? Do you think it's going to be hard to have a relationship with him sometimes? And why would that be? I can think of somebody who doesn't want you to have a relationship with God. Okay, so let's go another step further. If we were designed to have relationships with each other, this is how God made us, do you think there would be somebody out there who would want you to have broken relationships? That would want to highlight things or throw in darts or lies or deceits or anything that would just make you want to be like, they frustrate me so much. We're using our brains here. That if God designed it this way, and in this world we're born with an evil nature, and we do have a real enemy in this world, it is the devil, it is Satan, who is out to steal, kill, and destroy. And trust me, he is out, he's very much active, that he wants to steal your relationships, he wants to kill your relationships, he wants to destroy your relationships. And so that is why when you grab a bunch of human beings and you bring them together, there's going to be conflict, there's going to be fighting, because it is our nature, and our enemy doesn't want your relationship to work. And so here's Jesus teaching people on the side of a hill. And he's saying, if you go, you're going to church to worship God. You're going to offer your offering. And let me explain what he's describing here is that there would be a time of year in the Jewish culture and the Jewish faith that they would travel to the temple. And the temple was in Jerusalem. So they would travel a far distance. They might travel 10 days to get from one place just to go to offer the ceremonial sacrifice to say, I'm sorry for all that I've done. It was part of their faith. And Jesus is using this cultural context and talking to a bunch of Jews sitting outside the hill saying, hey, if you're going to go make things right with God and traveling to the temple to do it, and while you're there, you remember that, wow, I really offended somebody, or wow, I just have a relationship that is just a little messed up. It's not exactly right. And Jesus is offering to them saying, hey, drop your sacrifice, go back, make things right, then come back, then offer your sacrifice to God, saying, God, I want to make things right. And what he was asking them to do is to say, wow, I know you traveled 10 days or more to get here for some of you. I'm saying, yes, go back 10 days, fix it as long as it takes, then come back 10 days, and then get yourself right with God. This is a big deal, he was saying. He said, it's a big deal to make things right. If you look on your notes, there's the scripture that we read is right at the top of there. And if you find in bold, it says, go and make things right. I want you to circle that right now. This is God. This is Jesus himself saying, if there's something wrong with the relationship, go make things right. Now, let's stop for a moment and make sure we understand what he didn't say. He didn't say that, wow, you're unforgivable because you have a relationship issue. Wow, you've really messed up and you sinned against God because you have a conflict going on. He didn't say, wow, you have issues and relationship issues, so you should just quit those relationships because you need to get on with God. No, he's not saying all those things. He's saying, go and make it right. And this brings us to the one thing today, the one thing that we want you to know. If you don't remember anything else about this sermon, maybe you'll remember the couple fighting. But if you remember one other thing, oh, it's this, is that great relationships, they're not fight-free. They're not free of fights. But what they are is they fight right by working things out, by working it out. Great relationships aren't fight-free. They fight right by working it out. And so we wanted to be practical and we wanted to help you today with how do you do this? Because, Pastor, you're saying that the Bible is saying that Jesus said that I need to go and make things right. I've got to work things out. So how do I do that? Because have you met the person I have a conflict with? Have you met them? Do you know what they did? It's unforgivable. So we wanted to find some practical advice for you about how to be fight-free in your relationship, how to do it right, and hopefully you're picking up on my sarcasm here, but let's have some fun watching this ultra-spiritual training video on how to be fight-free in your relationships. Let's watch.
Control is the thread that keeps your relationship together, and we've found that being passive-aggressive is the best way to control your partner. I thought we could do something together today. Maybe go to the beach?
Not interested.
Or we could stay in and watch a movie if the beach doesn't appeal to you. When Amber won't talk to me, she really helps me learn that I did something wrong. Because she won't tell me what I did that was wrong, deep down, I just assume that I'm simply wrong for who I am at the core of my being.
When I give JP the cold shoulder, it's encouragement for him to be a better person, because I don't really like who he is.
Oh, thank you for cleaning the kitchen for once.
JP shares so much gratitude with me through his snarky comments, and at the same time, he shames me a lot. He is so good at directly communicating his thoughts with me with misdirected shame.
She deserves it.
I've decided I want to write a book. I'm so excited.
You've never written anything before, so you're not going to get picked up by a publisher.
JP's criticisms of my ambitions reminds me that I'm not enough of a person to fulfill my own hopes and dreams.
Yeah, Amber's dreams have no place in our relationship because they threaten my ability to control her.
Oh, I feel so loved when you control me.
Couples who control each other stay together.
I've made it to the gym 3 times this week.
That's really good. I didn't think you'd be able to get yourself to go at all. I use a compliment to slightly disguise my harsh criticism of Amber, and I have lots of it because I don't have any respect for her.
And I don't have any respect for myself either. That's why I'm with JP. We're a perfect match.
Oh, I talked to Drew this morning. He said he and Jillian are going to the Bahamas for a week.
Well, maybe if you made more money, we could go on a trip like that. I have a lot of expectations that JP will never be able to meet. And he deserves the opportunity to feel hurt about not living up to my impossible standards.
Amber feels empty inside because of her daddy issues from childhood, and I'd much rather have her hurt me rather than feeling her own hurt. And I think that by putting up with her emotional abuse, eventually I'll be able to rescue her.
You're my knight in shining armor. The key to a great relationship is control.
Control is the thread that keeps your relationship.
You think that's going to work? But we're laughing because we've seen it. Oh, man. We need some practical advice on how to do this. How to fight right. And I think that the best person we could actually go to for this would be, what, Jesus himself, maybe? Okay, so here's what happened. Later on in the book of Matthew, Jesus is still dealing with these 12 guys who he hangs around with all the time, and they're still having issues. And he's still trying to teach them about different things and what's going on. And finally, we get to a passage that has become so famous that this technique and these practical ways to work things out is known for the title of the chapter, which is Matthew chapter 18. However, Matthew has lots of things to say in chapter 18, but there's a few verses where Jesus talks about, here's what you should do, verses 15 through 17. We're reading out of the Message translation. It says this, listen closely. If a fellow believer hurts you, go and tell him. Work it out between the two of you. If he listens, you've made a friend. If he won't listen, take one or two others along so that the presence of witnesses will keep things honest and try again. If he still won't listen, tell the church. And if he won't listen to the church, you'll have to start over from scratch. Confront him with the need for repentance and offer again God's forgiving love. Jesus is outlining in these three scriptures here, here is the technique to work things out. And again, here we have Jesus talking about relationships. He's not saying, wow, you're terrible because you have conflict. We can make the logical deduction here that if you have relationships, you're going to have conflict. But it's how you deal with those conflicts. That it's not about what they were doing on the video, but it's about what Jesus is saying right here. So let's break down these steps. The first step of what he's saying to do is to do something about it. Do something. When he says that you need to talk to the person. Talk to the person. Now, it's interesting that he would make this the first step because really this one step is probably the hardest step of the whole thing because it means we've got to confront an issue. We've got to bring up something that's uncomfortable. It means we have to go and do it. It means we have to pick up the phone and call. It means we have to travel to someone. We've got to do something about the conflict. Now, it does not say, hey, wait till they apologize, then talk to them. Wait till they figure out that they hurt you, then talk to them. And it also doesn't say, hey, go talk to everyone else but the person to work things out. But really, Can you just agree with me for a moment that the reason why we have so many messed up relationships is we get the number one thing wrong almost every time? We don't go talk to the person. We talk about them. We talk to everyone else. We won't confront the issue. We'll just swallow it inside. We won't deal with it. We don't do something about the conflict. You've got to talk to the person. Now, he shows another practical thing here. Just because you go talk to the person doesn't mean everything's going to work out. It's just the first step. And so he offers that, hey, if they won't listen to you, if they won't agree with you, if you don't resolve things out, then try again and bring a friend or two. Try again and bring a friend. Do it again. So that means the same thing. That means you've got to talk to the person, but now we have a situation of, hey, let's bring a few others into this situation. Now, it is better if we can work things out individually. But I think that if we get past this point of the talk to someone and they're not listening and we're not resolving it, we go on to step two, what Jesus is saying, bring a person. I find it hard to understand why wasn't he more clear on who to bring with him? On who to bring? Because it just says bring friends, bring one or two others along. The reason why I wonder why it's not classified, because it's possible that when we are going through these steps, we try to weaponize these steps. And we purposely will bring along somebody that maybe it's someone legal. Maybe, hey, let's bring our in-laws into this. Hey, maybe we need to bring the kids into this. Maybe we need to bring someone who is already partnered with me on this. They're supposed to be just witnesses. And let me just give a side note to this, because we're walking through these four steps on how to solve conflict, how to fight right, how to be better together. We're better together not just because we are together, but we grow stronger through resolving conflict and issues. We grow stronger through that. But what is not mentioned here at the very beginning of this is that this does not work if at the core of who you are and what you want is to realize that, hey, I was made for a relationship and I want the relationship to work. So if you want the relationship, it's that basis, it's that foundation. That is why I would go talk to the person, because I value the relationship with the person, so I'm going to talk with them. I value the relationship with the person, so I'm going to talk to them again, and I'm going to bring some people to help. And if we're using that frame of mind in resolving conflict, we're doing it with an honest heart, saying, hey, I'm not saying that I was right and you were wrong, but I'm saying I value our relationship. Let's work through this. We're going to be stronger. We're going to be better together because of this. So do something. Talk to a friend. Try again and bring a friend. I love this third one. It's really important. This is a game changer for you. If it doesn't work the first time, and if it doesn't work the second time, the third time, try again and share your side on social media. What? Is that, the slide says that, right? So it must be true. Right. I hear someone saying, I don't think so. That's not what we're supposed to be doing with it. Because I think what Jesus was saying in that third step, if he still won't listen, tell the church. Well, the easiest way to tell the church is on social media, right? Do you think that's what they were talking about when Jesus is saying, hey, tell the church? No. It wasn't about let's go blab our problem to everybody. It is saying, hey, let's get some spiritual leadership, some spiritual authority that we recognize in our lives, and let's engage them to help us. Not to go tell on them, not to say, hey, everybody needs to know my husband and I are having relationship issues and he's just awful. And let me tell you what he did so you can agree with me, right? No. Remember, at the core of this, We want the relationship to work. We believe we're better together. We understand we're going to have conflict. We're not always going to agree. We're not always going to say the right thing. We're not always going to do the right thing, but we value the relationship. We don't shut ourselves off from relationships. It's the way God made us. He made us to relate, and so we're going to do the hard work to say, I'm going to try again. I'm going to talk. I'm going to try again. And when we look at this third one, I want you to take that third one, and I want you to take your pen, your pencil, your marker, anything. I want you to scratch that out right now. Go ahead. Scratch it out. Mark it out. That's not the answer. Social media, telling everybody your dirty laundry, that's not the answer to resolving your conflict. Scratch that out. Then find a clean white piece on the paper and write, engage your spiritual leaders. Engage your spiritual leaders in the process. And it's not that you're telling on somebody. It's not that they're being called into the principal's office. It's saying, hey, we have placed some spiritual leaders in our life by being part of a church family like we are here at Focus Church. And Jesus is saying with this that, hey, in resolving a conflict, if it gets to this level, then bring people who want the best for you and want you to grow to your next level with God. Allow them to speak into your life, into their life, and into the conflict situation. And Jesus goes on to say, well, if they won't listen to the spiritual authority, you'll just have to start over from scratch and do it all again. So the fourth step is try again. Try again. Try again. Now, here's what I think is really awesome. There is not an expectation that if you're a follower of Jesus, that you're supposed to be perfect. It doesn't require perfection to become a follower of Jesus. And it doesn't require perfection once you are a follower of Jesus. And we're going to mess things up. Especially, we're going to mess up when it comes to relationships. And so I want you to hear exactly what I'm saying right now, is that I am not speaking to you today to say you're condemned, you're an awful person because you failed in the relationship area. It's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is that we shouldn't stop having relationships. And the relationships that God puts into our lives, we should do what we can to work things out. We need to be honest with ourselves and recognize that even Jesus recognized we're going to have problems. We're going to have issues. We're going to have conflict. That's just going to happen. But it's outlined for us that if we've got an issue, we don't go running off and talking to our mom. If we got an issue, we don't talk to all our friends instead of talking to the person. If we've got an issue, we don't go tell on somebody. We try to work it out because we believe that God's placed relationships into our lives. And I'm not saying as well that, hey, in this whole idea of, wow, you know, Pastor, you're speaking on a topic that's really tough for me because I've really messed up, or you just don't even know, Pastor, the whole story of what happened in my relationship. And that's not what I'm speaking to this morning. I'm speaking about how you relate with your family that you have right now. I'm speaking to how you relate to your church family that you have right now. I'm speaking to how you relate with those that live around you and those who work with you right now. And I'm saying, if the relationship is worth it, then we do the work. We do the work to be better together. We work through it. I'd like for you to close your eyes, bow your heads with me today, because this concept, this idea, this thing, I mean, this series, I mean, here we're now at the third week of this, we're talking about some tough stuff. Stuff that we all deal with. We'd like to publicly present that we've got everything together and that everything is just awesome, and then everybody wonders what happens when it all falls apart. But if we're really honest with ourselves, if we really honest with others, we would say, hey, wow, Jesus knew. Jesus knew we're going to have issues. I mean, if his own guys who are sitting with them at breakfast every morning couldn't get along, well, one, that means there's hope for us. But two, he didn't condemn them. But three, he gave them a pathway saying, we work through this. We talk about it. We forgive. We forget. We move on. We value relationships. At the beginning, I asked, how many of you have had conflict in relationships? And even more importantly, how many of you have ever lost a relationship because of conflict? And that brings a lot of pain. It brings a lot of hurt. And there is an enemy out there who wants nothing better than to kill, steal, and destroy your desire to be in relationship with anyone because of your hurt and your pain. But it's time today for today to be a new day, for this to be a new beginning, to say, I'm going to move on. I'm not going to hold on to that pain and that hurt. I'm going to give it to God and say, God, bring new relationships into my life. God, if I'm in a relationship right now that we're having conflict, help me to be the one to take that action. Help me, show me what I need to do. Help me with what I need to say. So I want you to talk to God while I'm praying for you. So let's pray together. God, I thank you that your word today was very real to us, very practical. And I think the most important thing, God, is this recognition that it's not always going to be perfect. That fighting and conflict is something that's going to happen. It's not something that we look for or embrace, but God, we see that there is hope. There is hope. You acknowledge that we're going to have issues, but you also said, hey, you want to work on relationships. You want to talk about it. You want to do something about it. Relationships with each other are worth fighting for. And God, there are people in this room right now who are talking to you. Some are feeling hurt and pain. Some are wondering. They're in the middle of this and wondering, what are they supposed to do next? Or some are even wondering, what am I really supposed to be doing with this information and what I've just been presented with? God, I pray that you would hear our prayers. God, that you would help us to not feel condemnation when it comes to a relationship failure, but God, actually to help us to still be open to relationships. Lord, that we would be able to let go of baggage and hurt and pain and unforgiveness, but God, that we'd be able to move on, that we'd no longer be handicapped, that we'd no longer be handcuffed, God, with these past mistakes or these issues, but God, that today can be a new day because we give it to you. You desire us to have a relationship with you and a relationship with others, but God, we need your help, and we thank you that you provided in Matthew 18 a practical how-to guide. And we understand that at the base of it all, we have to value and want the relationship, and that's how it works. So God, guide us and direct us, help us. We know and recognize it's not easy. But God, help us to do this better. Help us to be better together. Help us to grow through the conflict, the fights, and the pain. Help us to be more in tune with each other, more in love with each other, more in love with you, God, as we commit and are challenged to this today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And while you still have your eyes closed and your head bowed, we've talked a lot about relationships today that deal with the sideways or relationships with each other, but at the root of it, just as much as we need and want and desire relationships with each other, you were designed to have a relationship vertically with God. And if you have been going through life without that, then let me just tell you what your life has probably been like. Empty, without hope, without focus, without purpose, with constant pain and struggling, trying to be smart enough, trying to do it the right way, trying to figure things out, but really in the end, you're just trying to live your life story with yourself as the main character, but you were designed to be in relationship with God. What does that mean? To say to Him, I want you in charge of my life. I want you to be the main character of my life. I want you to be my source of happiness, my source of hope, my source of purpose, my source of focus as to why I'm here and what I'm supposed to do and how should I live my life, and is there a reason behind all that? And I can tell you from the other side, the answer is yes. That we don't get together here to have church to just perform a religious ceremony, that if we do the right things, if we sing the right number of songs, if we give the right amount of the offering, if we have a pastor and we have chairs and we have people and we shake hands and we do those things, this is not the relationship with God part. Those are parts of extensions of that relationship, but we're not talking about religion. We're not talking about a ceremony. We're not talking about a something we've got to do, like we're unlocking a feature. We're talking a real thing, a relationship. That God believes that you and Him are better together. And so if you're here and you would say, Pastor, I'm searching and I'm hurting like what you've been talking about. I want and need that relationship with God. I want and need what you are talking about. How do I do that, Pastor? How do I do that? And the Bible describes that beginning a relationship with God is just a few simple steps. It's one, believing that there would be a God that loves you so much that He would want to reconcile you, that He would want to pay the price for you, that He would know that with all your flaws and all your imperfections, with everything you've done, all your failures, everything that you have done, He still loves you and He fully knows you. But because we're all born human, thanks to our original ancestors, Adam and Eve, who messed up in the garden and brought sin and destruction and evil onto every human being that ever born, and we are born with an inheritance that says one day we're going to spend forever apart from God. We're going to be born with a propensity to do wrong things, to do evil. It is our nature, commonly referred to as human nature. And God's not saying, I want to overlook the wrong. He said, I'm making a way. And He wanted to make a way because He loved you so much that He sent His Son, Jesus, to this planet to live a life that was perfect so that He could be the perfect substitute for everyone else. That He could be the one that to not pay the price with His life for His own sin, but that He could take on all of ours for everyone. And He did that. That's what we're celebrating in a few weeks with Easter, that He paid the price. That's when we take communion. We're celebrating and we're thanking Jesus for paying the price for our sin, for what we've done wrong, for who we are. And the thing is that Jesus didn't stay dead, but when we actually celebrate Easter, we're celebrating the resurrection, that He came back to life, that there is hope, and that there is new life. That when we turn our lives over to God, I can stand here and say that there is hope, because He didn't leave Jesus dead. He didn't leave Jesus to the pain and suffering and all associated with taking on sin. But instead, He said, I'm raising you up. There is new life. And for everyone who would make a decision to say, God, I believe You love me that much that You did that for me. for everyone who would say, God, I want you in charge of my life. I want you to lead me and give me hope and give me purpose. For everyone who would say, God, I choose you and decide to live my life in relationship with you, a vertical relationship that's just as important as my horizontal relationships with people. That today could be the day where it all changes. Today could be the day where you decide. So I'm going to give you that opportunity. If you would like to get it right with God today, if you would like to begin this relationship with God today, then I want you to let me know and let me pray with you. Let me know by simply just raising your hand right now. Let me know. Let me pray with you. Thank you. Thank you. And let's pray. I'm going to invite everyone to pray, repeating after me. No one prays alone here at Focus. This prayer of decision and commitment. Say, dear God, I'm sorry for everything I've done. I believe you love me so much. You sent your son to pay the price for me. I want to live for you. Give me hope. Give me purpose. Bring focus to my life as I begin a relationship with you, as I restart a relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen.